Hello, and welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Campus Bible Study is the Christian University group based at the University of New South Wales. We seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all, and hope that these weekly podcasts are an edifying encouragement to you, wherever you are tuning in from.
So Christians believe that the Bible is the Word of God. God still speaks to us, even though it's been thousands of years after Jesus came on earth. He still speaks to us through his word. So we'll be reading from John chapter 11 today, from verses 1 all the way down to 16. So there's a QR code on the screen as well if you want to scan it, and it'll bring you to a digital version. I'll give everyone a quick moment to find this. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. His brother Lazarus was now ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After he said these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
It's wonderful to be with you. And if in case you're wondering why I look like I'm wired up for an ECG or something like that, these are microphones, I understand. And one will be recording, the other one will make me listenable, God willing. Now, given that we've just heard God speak in the Bible, I'd love the opportunity to actually pray to ask God to help me to speak well, because I'm sure you'd all like that, wouldn't you? But also to help us to listen carefully so that we might respond appropriately to what he has said. So if you're the praying kind, please join me. If not, don't worry, just listen in for a moment. We thank you, dear Father, for the privilege it is to gather here at this lunchtime to hear your voice on this topic of death. And we pray, Father, that you might help me to speak your truth faithfully and well. And help us all to listen well so that we might respond in a manner that is truly appropriate for Jesus' sake. Amen. On Easter Sunday in 2013, my first wife, Bronwyn, very sadly passed away from a 3-year battle with cancer. And I can still remember curling up into a ball underneath a shower that seemed to go on for eternity, just not knowing what to do. Because I just felt that my guts had been ripped off. So you can imagine the thoughts that were going through my head when my now second wife, Jeanette, was diagnosed with recurrent breast cancer last month. And also in that same period, one of my daughters actually had to have an emergency cesarean section, in which if she had not come in that time, if it was just half an hour later, she would have died together with my now grandson when he was only 34 weeks old. We lived in the valley of the shadow of death, just a month ago. Now, I don't know where you're at, but my guess is that there are definitely some of us, if not all of us, who have seen death close up or at least know about it in one way or another, and affects us all, doesn't it? But I don't know about you, but when we come to this topic, it feels like the world just wants to ignore it or just treat it so superficially. And one of the funerals I went to not that long ago, they just wanted to sugarcoat the whole thing. And so there they were saying, I can just picture Auntie Joan hitting this golf ball down the fairway of heaven and she'd be so happy. Or I can see Uncle Joe there at the pearly gates of heaven just enjoying a joke with Peter. And that's all they can do. They can just speak superficially. And, oh, it's all about a celebration of life. We're not going to talk about this death business because we know that they're starry up there looking down upon us. Because they don't want to confront anything that is hard or gut-wrenching about death. Now, hands up if you've seen the movie Barbie. This is not a confession of sin. I just thought I'd share. Okay. Oh, well, there you go, you sinners. Anyhow, there's a whole bunch of them. And you know that the scene, and you'll see it coming up here. Here she is. And there's Barbie. And there's this particular scene in which you may recall, if you saw it, they're dancing, aren't they? They're doing something like this, and they're all there in a row. And then she says, have you guys ever thought about dying? Do you remember that scene? And then what happens then? The music stops. And everybody looks at her like as if they're horses with a sore tummy. And then they're going, what's going on? And she's going, and she knows it's really awkward, right? And so what does she say? I mean, I'm just dying to dance. And everybody goes, oh, and then they all get on dancing. Right? It just epitomizes the awkwardness whenever we face the topic of death, doesn't it? Why? Because people don't know what to say in the face of death. They don't know if death is the end or not. And they just don't know, and it's just too hard. But we all know deep down inside that death is not right, don't we? We all know deep down inside that death is terrible, and those in this world who choose to deny that there is a God are strangely quiet in the face of death, in the face of human tragedy and suffering. But not Jesus. Now, he has all the answers because he is the Lord of life and death. And over the next minutes, my prayer is that you will meet this Jesus as you've never met him before. Because he says death is not the end. And in this account that we had read for us, we meet a family that Jesus knew and loved very much in the face of death. There are two sisters, Mary and Martha. They have a brother who is gravely ill named Lazarus. And Lazarus is about to die. But look what we read happens in verses 5 and 7. You'll see it on the screen. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. I don't know whether that makes sense to you or not. You know, when I told Bronwyn's sisters who lived in the United States that she was gravely ill and possibly had days to live, they dropped everything, and they flew directly to our home from the United States. And not just them, but other friends and family from other cities within Australia. And that's what you do when you get the call normally, wouldn't you? Of someone that you knew, you loved and cared for. But not Jesus, not here. He deliberately hangs back for 2 more days to ensure that Lazarus dies. That's scandalous, isn't it? I mean, he could have gone straight away. Or given his reputation of someone who could heal from a distance, perhaps he could have healed from a distance. But no, what does he do? He stays put for 2 days to ensure that Lazarus actually dies. What's going on? Well, let's listen to Jesus himself. In verses 14 and 15 of our passage, we read, "Then Jesus told them, his disciples, plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. That's why he hung back. He wants their disciples, his disciples, to believe. Well, believe what? Well, that's what we're going to find out in due course. Now, while Jesus is walking to Lazarus's tomb, Martha, one of the sisters of Lazarus, says to him in these verses, in verses 21 and following, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. You see, like all discerning Jews, Martha understood that the term the resurrection referred to the final day when everyone in all of humanity, in all of time, would rise from the dead to be judged. In other words, the resurrection refers to the final day of judgment. See, according to the Bible, death is not the end. No, no. What is at the end, whether you're a believer or not, actually, is a resurrection for judgment, a final day for judgment. And Martha knew that her brother Lazarus would be resurrected with all of humanity to be judged at the resurrection, that day beyond the death of most of this world. But look at what Jesus says to her straight after in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You see what Jesus claims? He claims to be the one who breathes life into the dead. Where there is death, Jesus resurrects people. Death does not have the final say. Jesus does. But here's the thing, you see. The resurrection turns out to be a person, as you'll see in the next slide. And that person is Jesus, the life-giving judge. Right? The resurrection is a person. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. I'm the judge. I'm the judge of this final day when all of humanity will rise up to be judged. Have you met this Jesus? Do you believe this Jesus who can raise you back to life in order to be judged? But let's find out more about this Jesus in verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now, if you know the story, you'll know that Jesus is about to raise Lazarus from the dead in a few minutes, right? So why did Jesus weep? He knew he was going to get him back up to life again in a few moments. But notwithstanding that, he weeps. He weeps at the grave of Lazarus. Why? Why would you do that if you knew you were going to raise him from the dead? I wonder whether you might like to speak to one another about that for a moment. Why would Jesus weep in the face of death? Would you be willing to do that for a couple of moments? I understand that is a pattern here, so I'll just follow the pattern. Go for it. Talk to one another for a moment. Okay. Sorry to interrupt your conversations, but I do hope you'll keep talking. Now, was it because Jesus was powerless and frustrated, that he wept? No, of course not. We know that he can bring Lazarus back to life. Was it because he lost a beloved friend? Well, whilst that's true, again, he knows he's about to bring Lazarus back to life again in minutes. So why did Jesus weep? Well, he wept because of the nature of death, I take it. He knows it's terrible. He knows it's awful. He doesn't sugarcoat it like so many in our society do. Because death generates endless and incalculable damage. Right? Death destroys relationships. When Bronwyn died, our children lost their loving mother. I lost my spouse. When my now wife Jeanette was diagnosed with cancer, my daughter and grandson almost dying from her high blood pressure, the death and the shadow of death loomed again. Because death, as the Bible describes it, is the last enemy. It's ugly, it's repulsive, and beyond death there is judgment for all humanity. Oh, Jesus wept because of the nature of death itself. Do you know how comforting it is to know that Jesus wept in the face of death? Because Jesus is not removed from our gut-wrenching feelings. He's not distant. He's not indifferent. No, Jesus knows what it's like to have your guts wrenched out in the face of death. Our Lord and Savior knows what it's like to face death. And furthermore, not only did he weep, we're told that he's deeply moved. Can you see there in the red? Deeply moved. The phrase actually means outraged. Jesus was outraged in his spirit in the face of death. Why? Because the defining feature of death is that it is a mark of sin. And what is sin? It's best understood by the way it's spelt, right? It's a small s, a huge I in the middle, and a small n. It's all about me wanting to run my own life, my own way, without God ruling it. It's rebelling against God ultimately. It's living for myself as number one, rather than living for God as number one. Living for myself as God, rather than living for God as God. And the Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. If I choose to live my own life, my own way, without the one who gives me life, then in the end it makes sense that I choose death, because death is choosing not to live for the one who gives me life. The wages of sin is death. Sin is the action that will lead to this separation from God. And because we're all sinners, we too will all die and face judgment, the judgment that we all deserve. And Jesus is outraged at death and the sin that lies behind death. So what do we get outraged at? Domestic violence? Absolutely. Climate change? Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and the war in Gaza, whether it's Israel's ongoing war with Hamas or the terrorism of Hamas, what is it that gets you outraged? Well, what is Jesus outraged at? The sin behind all these things that deserves death. That's what he's outraged at. And in the chapter that follows after chapter 11, we actually learn that Jesus will die the death that we deserve. And more of that in a moment. But for now, look at what Jesus does for the sake of the disciples' belief. Remember, he says he hung back so that Lazarus would die and for the sake of the belief of his disciples. And what do we learn about this belief? In verse 41 and following, we read, "So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hand and his feet with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. You see, the resurrection is a person, and that person is Jesus, the life-giving judge. And here he gives life to the very one who has faced death in a family that he loves. When the dead hear his voice, they will rise up bodily from the dead. And some say that if Jesus had not mentioned Lazarus's name, everyone would have risen up at that gravesite. But no, he mentions Lazarus. Lazarus is raised as a foreshadow of that final resurrection. And Jesus himself rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday to conquer death. So here is Jesus' question to Martha and to you and me, but this question was actually asked before he raised Lazarus at this point in time. Back in verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Martha did. And no, she believed him before he raised Lazarus from the dead. She believed that he was the one who came, the one who was able to give life. But furthermore, in verse 27, in the next slide, chapter 11, verse 27, we actually read, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. You see, to believe Jesus is not simply to believe in his existence, nor is it simply to believe that he is a good teacher, nor is it even to believe that he is God, even though all those things are true. Rather, it is to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. See, the word Christ is not Jesus' surname. It's a title like president or prime minister or king. But unlike any human leader, this title refers to the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the King who will rule them all. He is the one who rules heaven and earth because he is the final judge on that resurrection day, that last day, the one to whom all will have to give account, to whom all will have a final reckoning. This is the Christ, the Lord of all. And as such, he rules over Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping and Joe Biden. Not that he really is doing much at all these days, but he certainly rules over Donald Trump and Emmanuel Macron and Keir Starmer and Albo. He rules over them all. He is their king and their judge. And death will not be a stranger to them or to any of us. See, from the moment we're born, we start to die. Our birth certificate comes with an expiry date. It's just that they don't know what that date is. But Jesus is the one who gives life and death. And here's the thing, right? On the first Good Friday, he chose to die the death that you and I deserve. He faced death head on by dying himself, so that all the anger of God that should have been poured out on you and me was turned aside from us unto Jesus so that we could have life. But in order to give us life, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead to become the resurrection and the life, to become the Lord, to become King of all kings, to become the Christ. So do you believe this? Because that's what that first Easter Sunday was all about. Him rising from the dead to be the Christ, the King of all kings, who will be the judge of all the world, who will be the one who can give us life. And all we need to do is trust him alone as your Christ, as my Christ, as our King. And as the pulsating center of our lives, as number one of our lives, knowing that he alone can save us from the judgment that we deserve beyond death. But did you see the heart of Jesus here? It's not that he's a king who has all this power and abuses it. No, he has beautiful power that he uses for our sake to save us. And all we need do is trust him alone to save us from the judgment that we deserve, to come into a relationship with him. Do you believe him as your Christ? For your answer to this will determine if you find life now and how you face death. And my first wife, Bronwyn, lived for Jesus as her Christ, but it didn't lessen our pain in the face of her death. But it's as if, you know, she clung on. She fell into a coma, you know, days before that Easter in 2013. And it's almost that she clung on until that Easter Sunday to point us to Christ and say, he's got our backs. All she did was change addresses from this world into the presence of her Christ. Back in that Easter Sunday in 2013. And you see, death is not the end. Meet Jesus and you'll find life. He is the resurrection and the life. And if you don't know him as your Christ, here is a moment that I would love you to be willing to consider turning to him as your Christ, simply by talking to him in prayer. There's a prayer that I've written that's coming up on the screen. It's a very simple prayer that just contains the words or the ideas coming out of this talk. And I want to read it to you and offer you the opportunity to pray it with me. As you'll see, that says, "Dear Father, thank you that Jesus wept and was outraged in the face of death. And please forgive me for ignoring him as the Christ. Thank you that he died to save me from your judgment that I deserve. And please help me to live for him as my risen king from now on." You see the words of the prayer? It's very simple, really. There's nothing magical about the words. But it contains the kind of truths and desires and petitions that you may have at this point in time. And if they really do capture what it is that you would like to say to Jesus, to our Father God, and through the work of his Son Jesus, then this is a prayer that you can pray right now to come to know Jesus as the resurrection and the life, as the Christ, to believe him so that you know you can spend eternity with this one beyond death. So if this is you, then I'd love to pray this prayer with you. And the way I want to do it is to pray this prayer sentence by sentence. And if it's your prayer, you echo it in your head and your heart to God in silence. And let me assure you that God will answer. If this is your prayer, then please pray it with me now. Dear Father, thank you that Jesus wept and was outraged in the face of death. Please forgive me for ignoring him as the Christ. Thank you that he died to save me from your judgment that I deserve. And please help me to live for him as my risen King from now on. Amen. The word amen simply means I mean it. If you meant that, let me assure you that God has answered. It may not feel particularly different. It may feel even a bit weird. I don't know which end of the spectrum it is, but it doesn't matter. What matters is whether you meant that or not. And we'd love to find out how it is that we can serve you. People who are here regularly know what to do at this moment in time. You're hearing the tearing taking place, but I'll let our MCs tell us how else we can serve you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Campus Bible Study podcast this week. Please make sure you are subscribed on your regular podcasting app. You can get in contact with us at campusbiblestudy.org. There, you can also find details about upcoming events and information about partnering with our ministry, both prayerfully and financially.